Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We're going to pray together, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Lord, speak to us through your Word today, and do what your Word does, and let us walk in it. In Jesus' holy name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Before we get too far, I'm going to recognize just a couple of people here. How many of you know the Bible says to honor whom honor is due? So over to my left, Joy Curley is over here. She's been in ministry for many years. Joy, stand up. We want to honor you today, recognize you. Give Joy a big hand. Joy has done ministry all over the world and has done seminars here at Ray of Hope in the past. And also to my left, Roy Welch is sitting right behind Pastor Matt. Roy has been a pastor in Alaska. I'm not going to tell you his age, but he's over 90 years old. Pastor, would you stand? We want to honor you today. Amen. I think you may be seeing Pastor Roy around here a little bit more often, so that's going to be good news. Well, we've been on a series called Destiny, Unstoppable Destiny. How many of you believe God has a destiny for you? And he has one for me. We want good fortune, good destiny. So I heard this story. Two Cajuns from Louisiana, from the bayous, decided they're going to get out and explore the world. So they went to Dallas, Texas. And they were looking at stores they'd never seen, and they came across this store, and in the window it said suits $10, shirts $2, and pants and trousers $3. And so Boudreaux turned to Thibodeau and said, it is our good fate and fortune, we are going to make a lot of money. We're going to buy these clothes, take them back to the bayous of Louisiana, and Thibodeau, we're going to make a whole lot of money. But let me do the talking, because with this Cajun accent, they may think we're ignorant. So Boudreaux goes in with Thibodeau and says, we want 100 of them there suits, and he's trying to have that Texas drawl. Partner, we want about 100 of those $10 suits, and we'd like 200 of those $2 shirts, and we'd like 100 of those $3 pants. And we're going to back up our pickup here, and you just load them up. And the owner said, you guys are from Louisiana, aren't you? He said, did you know that? He said, this is dry cleaners. How many of you know it doesn't always work out like you think it's going to work out? The dry cleaners. Do you know the ancient Babylonians had names for fortune, fate, and destiny? So it's found actually in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 11, and the names of their gods, Babylonians, were fortune and destiny. In the Hebrew, it is Gad and Menah, which is the word for destiny in the Hebrew. So these pagans believed in fortune and destiny, and we believe in fortune and destiny, but they're not gods, but we have a God that has our fortune and destiny for us. So we're looking at that this week and next week because it is so important that you understand how this works. It's found in the Bible a couple of times, Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9. It's speaking of the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. She did not consider her destiny. How many of you know we should consider our destiny? Now, in the passage, it says, Jerusalem, you are now like a widow. You were once great among the nations. You are now afflicted because of your transgressions. You have sinned grievously. How did you think this would turn out? Where did you think this would end up? Jerusalem and Israel are going into Babylonian captivity for 70 long years. You see, the definition of destiny really has something to do with your arrival. This is the definition. Where you will arrive, your future, your reward, and your end. You see, sometimes we think we can live any old way and we're going to end good. How many of you know that's not in the Bible? You have to walk the way that God wants you to walk. Now listen, all of us need Christ. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But as you follow him, you will end up in a better place. And today, we have a lot of different people saying different things. You're okay. So God is willing for us to move forward if we'll let him. So we are all responsible how we deal with our own personal giants or personal challenges and issues. How many of you know all of God's children got issues? Look at the person next to you. Oh yeah, they got some issues. They got big issues. We all have them. And there's enemies out there, challenges out there. Now listen, they're outward and they're inward. The biggest challenge I have is me. Can I hear an amen to that? The biggest challenge I have is me. Now, there's stuff out there, but let me tell you, I'm my worst enemy sometimes. I got issues that I have to deal with, and so do you. The enemy of doubt, fear, discouragement, despondency. You know, what does unstoppable destiny mean to you this morning? I mean, how are you processing that? Because destiny and destination both go together. So your destiny will bring you to a destination. Do you know that Israel had destiny when they left Egypt? Because there was a destination. The destination was Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. That's where they were supposed to go. But you know, they took the long way around. For 40 long years, it took them to reach their destiny, but they could have arrived there sooner if they would have just believed God. If they didn't get into doubt and fear and unbelief. So what are some of the things that possibly we could see in the Word of God that would help us? Well, here's one of the most famous verses in the Old Testament. It's Jeremiah 29:11. How many have ever heard of that verse? Hey, we're voting. How many have ever heard of Jeremiah 29:11? This is what the Lord said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Or I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So God's destiny for you is hope and a future. How many of you would receive that today? He has a destiny for you. He has a will for you. He has a direction for you. He has a place for us to arrive to. And it's full of hope. It is full of future. But this is a great verse in a very difficult chapter. Now let me tell you why. You see, this chapter in Jeremiah is spoken when they're going into Babylonian bondage for 70 long years. Your attention, please. You cannot live any old way you want to live and end up where you want to end up. How many of you will let that process just for a minute? Well, it doesn't make any difference how you live, what you believe. Let's go with culture. You know, God's word is ancient. It's old. It's not applicable today. Hold on here. If you and I live any way we want to live, we will not arrive at the place we want to arrive. You see, God says, I have a hope and a future for you. I have a destination for you. And they forsake God. They went their own way, and God took them into captivity for 70 long years. But in the middle of that, he says, I still have a hope and a future for you, even if you mess up. Can I hear an amen? Now, I love the way the verse starts. He says, for I know the plans. How many of you have ever not known the plan? So Carrie is a little critical of me at times. She is a list maker. How many of you are list makers? I got to do this today, this today. And she says, you don't make lists, you just shoot from the hip. And that's really true. You know, one of my favorite parts of Indiana Jones is when, you know, the Nazis take the Ark of the Covenant away, and he's getting ready to jump on a horse. And they say, Indy, what are you going to do? And this is what he said, I'm making this up as I go. But we've got to realize when you don't know the plan, God knows the plan. It doesn't say, I know. God said, I know. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. So we have to allow God to work in our life, and we have to have unstoppable destinies. So what could go wrong? Things could go wrong on this journey. Here's the first one, if you're taking notes. Sometimes we get entangled by what other people say. Has it ever hurt your feelings by what somebody else said? Well, this is something that we all have to really realize. It's a deal, and it's even more of a big deal in social media today. Because a lot of times people would say something, you never heard what they say, now they post what they say. And people say, well, I've been bullied on Facebook, or I've been bullied in social media. I've never been bullied on my Facebook page because I never see my Facebook page. But that happens. And if you listen to what everybody says, you're going to go the wrong way. If you listen to what culture says, even in politics, entertainment, music, the films, television, there is this huge pull and push to what you should be, the direction you should go. But God said, this is my plans for you. Not what they say, but what he says. Listen, the two most important voices in your life is this: what you say to yourself and what God says to you. What are you saying to yourself? Are you giving a good confession? Are you saying the right things? Are you declaring the word of God? Do you embrace the word of God? Because somebody can say anything about you, how many of you know that doesn't make it the truth? So you and I have to realize we don't want to get entangled by what other people say. Other people do not determine your destiny. Other people do not determine your destiny. And you may have even had some horrible things happen to you. Maybe a mom or a dad, somebody in your family that says you're not going to amount to anything, you're going to end up in prison, this is going to happen to you, whatever. Listen, that doesn't have to define your life. It doesn't have to define my life. So don't let that define your life by what other people say about you. Here's another one, and I think it's very important. We see failure as final. Say that with me. We see failure as final. Now, let's all say it together. This is so important. Let's say it really loud. We see failure as final. I want to tell you, failure is not final. Because in some way, we all started off as a failure. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of Adam and Eve, we started out with a sin nature. You started out with a sin nature. And we had to have help. We had to have a redeemer to get past that number one issue in our life, which is the life of sin. But in failures, we learn. You learn when you fall and you fail. So while you're down there, pick something up. While you're down, learn something. It's through failure we get strength, we get courage, and we get resilient. We're bouncing back. And some people, when they fail, they really don't bounce back like they should. How many of you know God wants you to get up and bounce back? You see, failure never determines your destiny. Failure cannot keep you from your destiny. Quitting keeps you from your destiny. It's not failure, but it's quitting. So don't ever quit. In God, you don't have to ever quit. If you're quitting, it's because you decided to quit, not because God's not a good God. You see, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, failure. Abraham left Canaan and went to Egypt, failure. He lied about his wife Sarah being his sister, failure. He brought back Hagar from Egypt, failure. David didn't go to war with his mighty men, failure. He had an affair with a married woman, Bathsheba, failure. Killed her husband, failure. Wow. These are the patriarchs of God. Peter denies the Lord, failure. Peter curses, I don't know him, failure. Mary Magdalene sold her body as a prostitute, failure. Demon possessed, failure. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church, failure. The apostle Thomas Didn't believe the resurrection. Doubted. Failure. But if I would look back at possibly, and I'm not the judge, but if I look back at all those names I gave you, I think most of them would be in heaven. Wouldn't they? I think everybody I listed probably would be in heaven. Not because they failed, but because of the grace of Almighty God and the redemption we have through Jesus Christ. If they quit, they're done. But they kept going, even in the midst of their failure. You see, failure is not final. And the way you ultimately fail is when you quit. So let me encourage you, if you're discouraged today, don't quit. Get up, don't give up, and get motivated to keep moving forward. And if you do that, we'll start gaining momentum and God will take us to new ground. But let me tell you, failure is not final. So just get up and move forward. Let me tell you something else could kind of hinder us from our destiny. It's having low expectations. Now, I'm fixing to get really spiritual here. Country and Western. I got friends in low places. So we got some sinners in here that know that song. You see, when you set your expectations low, it can destroy God's higher expectations for you. See, sometimes we get such low expectations that we don't see the possibility that God has for us. The book of Habakkuk, this is chapter 2, verse 2, and most of you know the passage. And the Lord answered me, and I put in here, what's the question? Because he's looking for an answer. Because Habakkuk is at his post, he's at the wall, and he's watching, and he's trying to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. How many of you ever had your ear to heaven to hear what God was about to speak? I mean, I have. God, I need a word from you. How many of you have ever needed a word from God? God, I need a word from you. And this is where Habakkuk is. I'm at my post waiting to what he will say to me. And this is what the Lord said. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. That he may run who reads it. You see, even in tough times, God still has a destiny for you. Even in difficult times, God still has a plan for you. Even in difficult times, God still has a vision for us. And let me tell you why. In chapter 3, this is the way the dialogue goes. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, even though the vine fails, even though the olive tree fails, there are no herds, there's no cattle, there's no sheep, the stalls are empty, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. I will honor God because he is my strength and my salvation. You see, when it looks dark out there, when it seems like it's difficult out there, I'm going to guarantee you can still rejoice in God. You can say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. It looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but let me tell you, you're still on the throne. You're still my God. You know, there's no fruit on the trees. There's no animals in the stall. But I'm going to rejoice in you because you're my salvation. You still have a plan for me. You still have a destiny for me. You still have a vision for me. And my friends, you got to latch onto that. Because sometimes your experience and your carnal feelings will just overwhelm you. And that's exactly where Habakkuk is right here. If you want to change your life, change your expectations. If you want to change your life, raise your standard. Not any old thing will do. He will lift you. Can I hear an amen? And a clear, plain vision, look at the passage, allows us to run. Question, run where? Run to the destiny. Run to the vision. Run to the clarity where he's calling. Run to a destination. And that's what God is saying. I come up here last night. Carrie was working in the yard, so I escaped. Being very spiritual. And I said, I need to go to the church for a while. I come up here, nobody was here. And I began to think about what we're going to be saying today and gather with you this morning. And And just by myself here, I begin to think about this, and I think the Holy Spirit really began to deal with me. See, 24 years ago, there was nothing right here. Nothing. Where you're sitting on this campus, 24 years ago, there was nothing. The only thing that was here was some plum thickets, some blue stem grass, pasture land, Oklahoma pasture, and an emu. An escaped emu roamed this area. But there was nothing here. There was no buildings. There was no basketball courts, no playground. There was no volleyball courts. There was no padded pews, no theater seats up in the Cascade section. There was no praise. There was no worship here. There was no one preaching the gospel here at this location. 24 years ago, there was nothing here. But there were some people who had a vision. Not one or two, there were hundreds of people who had a vision. And since then, thousands and thousands of people have walked through those doors. Thousands of people who've stood around these altars and cried thousands of tears running down their cheeks and landing in this carpet, calling out on the name of the Lord because someone had a clear vision. But I begin to think about this. In the next 24 years, is there anybody here that's going to have a vision? Could I speak to everybody who's 50 years and younger? Could I speak to these young people here to my right? Does anybody here have a vision? This is a good question, isn't it? I mean, is this all there is? Is this all we got? Is there going to be a greater school? Is there going to be greater missions? Is there going to be more people? I'm not talking about thousands. Listen, I'm looking for tens of thousands. Does anybody have that burden? Or have we just come to sit on the pew and say, boy, this feels good? Question, what's going to happen in the next 24 years if Jesus tarries? Has anybody picked up the mantle? Has anybody got a vision? Are you comfortable? Or are you just saying, well, hallelujah, we arrived. Honey, God has a bigger vision for us than what happened 24 years ago. He has greater things. He says, I know the plans. And he's looking for somebody to pick up a mantle and have a clear vision and what? Run to it. Not walk to it, crawl to it, sleep through it, run to it. I'm about to preach. Listen, it's through blood and sweat and tears and on your knees and your face in the carpet. God, I'm at my post waiting for the vision. And when you get it, run to it. Don't walk it. Don't crawl it. Don't get entangled with other things. Run to that vision. Why? It is your destiny. And when we do, it's the only thing that lasts beyond this life. Everything else will be burned up in a big ball of fire. But what you do for God will go over to eternity. And how many of you know, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, destiny is not by chance. It's by choice. See, a lot of people think, well, I just got lucky. It's just fate, just destiny. No, it's not by chance. It's by choice. Well, one of these days I'll win the lottery. I hope you do. Just tithe when you get it. Well, I hope I win the lottery. God said, well, at least help me out, buy a ticket. But listen, it's by choice and not by chance. You see, unstoppable destiny is that we choose to go the direction that God wants us to go. Here's another thing I think we have to look at. What could deter our destiny It's struggling with our own self-worth. Have you ever struggled with your own self-worth? I have. I want to tell you. Sometimes it's pretty often for me. God, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. How many of you have ever tried to compare yourself to somebody else? Whenever I compare myself to somebody else, it's like I always lose. They're either smarter than me, better looking than me, got more money than me, or whatever. Listen, it's odious to compare yourself to other people. You're an original. Don't die a copy. See, God has you made original for a purpose, for a destiny. And he doesn't want you to wander around for the rest of your life. But one of the things we struggle with is, you know, I just don't think I'm worthy. This is Luke chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading it at verse 5. You know the story. Jesus borrows the fisherman's boat to speak. And that's where we pick up. And Simon answering and said to him, Master, because Jesus, after he borrows the boat, he says, hey, guys, go out and fish some more. Let down your nets. Master, we've told all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord. You know what Peter's reaction is? I'm not worthy. Lord, don't get near me because I'm messed up. Can I give you a revelation? The only people God's got to work with are messed up. There again, would you look at your neighbor? Messed up. Just messed up. Anytime we have an encounter with Almighty God, it's so impacting. We see how holy he is and how needy we are. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. This is what Isaiah is saying. There's a big, awesome, glorious, mighty God. And his response is, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I need help. What am I going to do? You see, God is so big and holy and mighty. When we encounter him and he encounters us, it makes us feel our unworthiness. It makes us feel our smallness. It makes us feel our inadequacies. But let me tell you, that's just what God does. He's that big. He's that holy. He's that powerful. He's God. But he uses people like us, like you and I and Peter and David and Abraham and Adam and Eve and Mary Magdalene and Saul of Tarsus, who had become the Apostle Paul. Listen, he uses people like that. And this is what Peter's feeling. I'm not what I should be. I'm a person that's sinful. Lord, don't get close to me. Isaiah's doing the same thing. But listen, if we could just get over the fact that we just don't measure up and we're not good enough. But here's the good news. He is more than what we need. And he's greater than any inadequacies that we may have. So once we realize that, then we get that out of the way and say, Lord, you have a destiny for me. You have a destination for me. You have a plan for me. And God, lead me and guide me in that so you can have the glory in what you have called me to do, because you're going to give me the strength that I need. And here's the last one, and maybe you've ever wondered this. Lord, are you able to get me where I need to be? Lord, are you able to get me where I need to be? Has anyone ever thought that? God, I'm a day late and I'm a dollar short. I got more month than money. I don't feel adequate. God, can you do something with me? Can you get me where I need to be? Are you able, God? That's the question, isn't it? God, are you able? I want to read some verses to you. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. He is able to subdue all things. Hebrews 2:18, he's able to help me when I'm tempted. Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save to the uttermost. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young minister by the name of Timothy. He is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. What day? Till the day you die, or that day that he comes. Capital D-A-Y. What day? Well, tomorrow will be a day, the next will be a day. But let me tell you, the day you die will be capital D-A-Y. Or the day that he comes will be capital D-A-Y, right? The day of the Lord. And this is what all these passages just said. He is able to help you. He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's able to help you when you're tempted. And anything that I've ever committed to him, he will keep it until that day. What day? Till the day I die, till the day I lay this body down, till the day he returns in glory. How faithfully is he? Until it is over. Until it is over. So today, when we leave this place, I want you to be able to say, he is able to get me to the place that I need to be. Now listen, this is true whether you're 6 years old, or you're 13 years old, or you're 70 years old, or 90 years old, or 100 years old. Let me tell you, until that day arrives, he is still able to keep you in commitment, and he's still able to do what he said he would do in your life. How many of you know we got to keep believing? We got to keep trusting. We got to be faithful. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, the priority for you is to give your life to him. Because your destiny will not be good without Jesus Christ. I know I can read the Bible and tell you where you'll end up, and it's not good. It's not Disneyland and it's not Six Flags. But it does start with an H. And it's not the H of heaven. But the Bible says, I have plans for you. I think about you. I want to give you a hope. And I want to give you a future. And your ultimate destination is heaven with your Lord. Heaven with your Lord. Isn't that better than the other place? Heaven with your Lord. And not only with your Lord, but I chance to say, all of us have somebody on the other side we'd like to see. Somebody on the other side, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a brother, a sister, a wife, a husband. I got some people on the other side I'd like to see again. What about you? But the only way you get there is through Jesus Christ. Did I just read he said he's thinking about you? Did I just read he has a plan for you? And you may be here today and say, Pastor, I don't know. That's okay, because that verse said, I know. God said, I know. When you don't know, I know. When you can't figure it out, he can figure it out. When you don't know where to go, he knows where to go. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him and by him. Can I hear an amen? Would you bow your head with me right now? Would you just hang with us just for a moment? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, let me urge you to give your heart to him. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. And it could be that you know Christ, but you just wandered away. And you're not where you should be. If today you need to give your life to Christ, if you need to rededicate your life to him, I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. Would you lift your hands with mine and say, Pastor Mike, would you pray for me today? Because I want to pray for you. Hands are going up. Hands are going up. Thank you so much. Now let me ask something else, and I think this is really important also. You may be at a place in your life, it could be a health issue, could be family, marriage, could be depression, despondency, Could be financial, even with a job. Maybe you're having trouble at home and you need help. And you might say, I don't know. I don't know how to work this out. I don't know where to go from here. But the Bible says, he said, and I know. You may be saved and going to heaven, but you still have obstacles in your life. And I know I've got some too. And I'm going to be maybe the first one to raise my hand on this. But if you could use some help with something in your life, would you simply raise your hand with mine and say, Pastor Mike, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I got some things in my life I could use some help with. Am I the only one that needs any help here? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask our prayer people to come, our prayer partners to stand across this front. If you raise your hand for any reason, listen, you're not going to be embarrassed. If you raise your hand for any reason, I want you to very quickly come and stand right here at the front with me. Find someone to pray with. Come on, several of you raise your hands. I want you to come and stand right here with us. It's okay. We're going to pray. We're going to be dismissed. Come on, let's give them a hand as they come, church. Come on. Let's come on up. Maybe today you need to pray for a son or a daughter, or maybe you need to pray for a health issue or a job. I don't know what it is, and you don't have to tell me, but I know this. We have a God that helps us. We have a God who wants to save us. We serve a God that has a destiny for us and a destination. So we're going to pray today that God's going to give us strength and help. Would you come and help us pray? Come on, church. We need some people to help us pray. Would you gather around somebody, lay your hands on them? Come on, lift your hands over them, and let's pray together and ask God to help. Come on, this altar's open. Let's fill it up. Let's pray together. Let's ask God for some help, and then we're going to leave. So stay with us. Pray with us right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're our God. You are the mighty God. You are the thrice holy God. There is no God but you. And Lord, you think about us. You have plans for us. You have a hope for us. You have a future for us. So God, as we cry out to you, as we call on the name that's above every name, we ask you to help us, lead us, guide us. God, direct our steps. Don't let us quit. Don't let us falter. Don't let us wallow in our failure. So God, we stand here praying for our family, praying for our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren. We're praying for our community, God. Let your spirit draw them and touch them and let them feel the house of God and feel your presence and know your salvation. So Lord, we give you praise and thanks in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you're praying, just continue to pray. Look at me tonight. They're going to have a graduation and a service here. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Okay, here we go. Confession time. Are you ready? Okay, some of you are not ready. Are you ready? Okay. Say this with me, and I'll stop, and you say it with me. For my God is able to do whatever I need. How many of you believe that? Your God is able to do whatever you need. Give the Lord a hand clap. God bless you. We love you. Have a great rest of the day.
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.